So I want you to imagine that you have the privilege of a guided tour around the temple, and you are blown away by the magnificent structure. The whole building, you are told, was under the direct architect's plan of Yahweh, the living God. And you see the amazing and the wonderful structure that it is, all for the glory of Yahweh, the great God of heaven and earth. Yahweh gave Solomon the architect's plan, and Solomon directed the building according to that plan. And you are absolutely amazed. And then your guide tells you that when it was finished, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests just couldn't enter because of the amazing glory, because of the amazing presence of the great God of heaven and the great God of earth. And when the people saw this glory, they knelt with their faces to the ground and they worshipped Almighty God. And then your guide says to you, would you like to read the prayer that Solomon gave at the dedication? And he hands you a parchment and you read this remarkable and amazing prayer. And you look at it and you see what an amazing prayer it was. And you think, if only I could have been there. If only I could have listened to Solomon's prayer of dedication. Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on the earth below like you. You keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. And you read on, and you come to that great statement recorded for us in the 27th verse. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? And your mind is stuck time and time again by that statement. And you ask yourself the question, will that ever happen? That this amazing and glorious God that Solomon worshipped would ever dwell on the earth? Fast forward about 1,000 years. And the answer to that question was given to a young woman called Mary. It was a remarkable answer to the question of Solomon those many years ago. And Mary is told about the Lord Jesus that she was to give birth to, that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will be great. And that is a statement that I will bring before you this morning. A remarkable statement on the glorious building of the person of the Lord Jesus. This amazing building was fulfilled when Christ came. And the Lord Jesus came into this world to replace the temple. In other words, he came to make the temple redundant. That is why when the Lord Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. There was a greater than Solomon. And the Lord Jesus himself was found in Bethlehem. And those who had revealed unto them were the outcasts of society, poor shepherds watching after their flocks by night. The answer to that question of Solomon's prayer about 1,000 years before was found in that babe at Bethlehem. And that babe will be great. His greatness is unsearchable. And he was firstly great in his humiliation. God was there in Christ. And he was laid in an animal's feeding trough. You couldn't get any lower than that. Here is the co-creator of the universe, born to a virgin. His birth was the greatest display of condescension which heaven or earth has ever seen. Imagine Joseph. Now there are fathers here this morning. And when your son was born, you took him into your arms. And you wanted to see something of your likeness in your son. And as your son grew up, you no doubt looked at him as I have with my son and said, there's a chip of the old block. But Joseph could never do that because he was not the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be great. And he indeed was great in all that he did and in all that he said. He even said in Matthew 12 and verse 6, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. Now that would have blown the religious institutions away, for they thought there was nothing greater than the temple. But here was the Lord Jesus, greater than the temple. If you and I had been round and listened to him replying to the religious establishment and dealing with the scribes and Pharisees, you would have listened and you would have looked at the Lord Jesus and you would have said, isn't he great? Look at the way in which he dealt with them. Isn't he great? He was great in his mighty power over nature, wasn't he? Because he was the creator, he had authority over nature. He had authority over the wind and waves. So the men said, men marvelled, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? He spoke, and the sea and the wind had to behave themselves. He was great in the feeding of the 5,000. Can you imagine being there at the feeding of the 5,000 and seeing those loaves and those fishes being multiplied? You would have gasped and I would have gasped in amazement, because here is one who is great. He was great at the wedding in Cana in Galilee, turning water into wine. Water turns into wine regularly. It goes into the ground and it produces grapes, and the grapes produce wine. But here is the Creator short-circuiting it all and turning water into wine. He was great in his teaching. No one, they said, ever spake like this man. He was great in his love. For no greater love has ever been displayed in this world than the love of Christ. We see something of the greatness of that love with him eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. And yet at the same time we know that while he was here, he was Emmanuel, God with us. What great love he had. A love that is incomprehensible. A love that is an absolute perfection, whereas our love is a passion. He was great in his remarkable promises. All those wonderful promises that you and I have known what it is to rest upon. And when the disciples saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw that his face did shine as the sun, something of the glory of the Lord manifested itself there and broke through his earthly humanity. He was great in his miracles. You think he touched the leper, he broke through the law and touched the leper. He raised the dead, he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. He raised Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son. He was great. And he is great in the estimation of his people. For the highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is great because he is the centre of so great salvation. What a wonderful salvation he has wrought in this world. He has come into this world in the darkness of this world and rebellion and sin. And we have seen him, and we have seen this wonderful salvation wrought out. He's full of grace and truth. He was great in his absolute perfection. For when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And if you and I have been there and listened to the way in which people dealt with him and spoke to him, you would absolutely be amazed that he didn't respond in an unkind and ungracious way. He was great in his sacrifice. What a great sacrifice. He willingly and lovingly went to Calvary. He opened there the door of the most remarkable forgiveness. That the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. For great is the gospel of our glorious God. Great is the power of his blood. For his blood can make the foulest clean. And his blood can melt the hardest heart. If you are a believer gathered here this morning, he has shown his greatness in your life, hasn't he? He has shown the greatness of his grace. He has shown the greatness of his love. He has shown the greatness of his mercy. For when you were in the darkest night of sin, he met with you and he touched you. And he showed you that your sins were forgiven. And you were washed clean in his sinless blood. He is great. Have you known this great salvation, my friend? Boy, girl, man, woman. Have you known this great salvation? You see, he came into this world to save his people from their sins. And all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. What a great gift he is. I'm sure there was great excitement in your home on Christmas Day. I know that some of you had COVID. Not too exciting, that wasn't. But overwhelmed with joy. Just what I needed. Just what I wanted. He is everything that you need for salvation. He is everything you need at the greatest cost of all to him and to the Father. Every gift that you had somewhere had a price tag. Maybe it was bought on eBay. Maybe it was. And it's got a price tag. But there's no price tag on the Lord Jesus. You can't put a price on him. He is absolutely priceless. No wonder Paul the Apostle had to say thanks be unto God for his inexpressible gift. And that word inexpressible is the only time the original word is used in the New Testament. And it means that it can't be put into words. So when you know something of the greatness of Christ, you are lost in wonder, love and praise. So when he went to Calvary, for all who would trust in him, there was a stamp placed upon every believer, paid in full. Paid in full. Do you have the greatest gift from the greatest giver? You see, when the Lord Jesus was born, God was saying, this is how much I love the world. His love embraced the world. His love took hold of the world. And there was no one beyond his reach. The deepest dyed sinner is welcome. And if Legion, who lived among the tombs that nobody would have anything to do with, was dealt with by Christ. If Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, the most awful man of the day, was dealt with by Christ. Let me tell you this morning, he is such a great saviour that he's able and willing to save you. In your seat here this morning, however young, however old you are, however deep dyed in sin you are, we can go out for a meal, a great meal, a great holiday. But the greatest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now some of you older people here will know that there was once a great boxer, Muhammad Ali, or Cassius Clay, and he had a catchphrase, "I am the greatest." He was a world champion boxer, and when he won a fight he would say, "I am the greatest." He died in 2016 with Parkinson's disease. How sad that was. Because ultimately there's only one who's the greatest. And that is the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. If you go to meet the Queen, there's a dress code. You may have met her, I haven't met her, but you may have met her. You have a dress code and a decorum. But to meet this Saviour, you come as you are. For he knows absolutely all about you. You can't put on a good best suit because he knows you through and through. He knows your thought patterns. He knows everything about you. He knows all the sins that you've ever committed. And there's always a welcome, because he's a great Saviour. Have you known this Saviour? The greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is great. And he is great in the resurrection. For he rose again on the third day. After wicked men had done their best, he rose again on the third day, and he rose, the most proven event in history. And those early disciples were prepared to base their lives on the resurrection. He said this, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Let me ask you, has any other leader of any world religion ever said and done that? No. Because only he, the one who is the truth, could say and do that. You see, wicked men put him to the death. But ultimately it was a voluntary act by Christ. He was willingly laying down his life because he loved men and women and boys and girls so much. And the resurrection was absolutely amazing. And because the disciples knew the truth of the resurrection, they went into all the world. They were told to go into all the world because God so loved the world. He's great in everything that he is, in everything that he does. He was great in his death. He was great in his resurrection. Death could not hold him. And he is great in the number of his converts. For they will be a great multitude which no man can number. He is great in his tenderness and in his sympathy. Have you ever known what it is to go through a dark valley? difficult circumstances. And you may be in that situation today with no one to turn to. But there is one who will not break the bruised reed. There is one who will not quench the smoking flax. And he is wonderful. He's full of tenderness and ever yearns of love. His greatness is stamped on every promise ever made. His greatness is stamped on every pardon ever granted. And his greatness is stamped upon every blessing that he has ever given. The angel said he will be great, and so he is great. He saves great sinners. Down through the years he saved great sinners. And he's made them his children. He saved a man called Paul the Apostle, a great sinner. And he's given great grace. And he continues to bestow great grace upon men and women and boys and girls. And if you are a Christian here this morning, you have been blessed by him with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You're a co-heir with Christ. Now, as some of you know, many years ago I worked for Iberia Spanish Airlines. And I worked in their London office. I had charge of their finance for the UK. Why they ever gave me the job, I don't know. But we were the highest paid airline in London. They used to call me El Rey. And the word Rey in Spanish, R-E-Y-E, means king. So they called me El Rey, the king. And we used to get a month's salary at Christmas. And when I left to go to Bible college, they were going to introduce another month's salary in the summer as well. We were heavily subsidised by the Spanish government. Now, we used to have to work every other Saturday. And one Saturday I was in the office. And the general manager said to me, Ray, could you organise some police protection? Because tomorrow we've got a Basque separatist demonstration outside of our offices. And I arranged it. He wasn't very good with English. And I arranged it for him. And he said to me, you're going off to Malaga this afternoon. I said, yes, I'm flying down to Malaga. I had a friend down there and I was to preach there on the Sunday. Well, went into his wallet, he said, take a taxi to the airport. And when are you coming back? I said, on Wednesday, I'll be in the office on Thursday. No, you won't, he said, take the rest of the week off. Now, they were wonderful people to work for. And you really felt valued and appreciated. And I found it very hard to leave them. But I thank God that Christ's love is greater than anything else. But we have been blessed abundantly. We have riches that are incalculable. We have riches that are wonderful and amazing. And we have been blessed spiritually with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And we have a hope beyond this world. And we see this world creaking on its hinges. He is great, isn't he? In the midst of it. And one day he will be seen to be great. You remember that great account that we have in the book of Revelation in chapter 7? It's a wonderful chapter, this. Revelation chapter 7 and verses 9 and 10. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues. God is not a racist. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Don't let the Watchtower religion tell you this was on earth. They were before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There will be seen the wonderful fruit of Calvary. There is the ultimate result of that one who is great. John Newton says this: under the term heaven, we may understand that glorious state in which he makes himself known as the fountain of happiness and joy to his angels and redeemed people. And he will be shown on that day as the fountain of happiness and the joy to his angels and to his redeemed people. And one day, my dear friends, in heaven's glory, his amazing glory will fill us with the most profound and amazing happiness and joy as we see him on his throne, as the one who is altogether lovely, as the one who is altogether glorious. He will be great on that remarkable day when sin will be no more, and the battles that you and I have against indwelling sin within will be no more, and Christ will ultimately fill us with everlasting joy. He will be our all in all. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? But I have to tell you this too. He will be great in his judgment as well. In 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verses 5 to 10 we are told this: which is manifest of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. When people exercise the most awful persecution against his people, it's ultimately against Christ. And I would not like to be in the shoes of one of these on that day, would you? Because he will be great. He is terrible wrath. And if Christ ignores the persistent attacks on his covenant people, if he pretends that these massive evils in this world never happened, he is diminished in who he is, and he is no longer great. He will deal with his enemies with everlasting destruction. Great in his salvation, great in his terrible judgment. For you, what will it be? I have a dear friend in Northern Cyprus called James Swanson. And just under 2 weeks before Christmas, he had a friend, Steve, from Forest Fold Chapel with him in his 30s. He loves mountains, and they went out on a Monday. and they're walking in the mountains, and Steve lost his foothold and fell to his death. The mystery of providence. And James would like to go to his funeral next Thursday. He's tested positive for COVID. And last night we got an email to say that he still tested positive. His funeral is at Forest Fold this coming Thursday. Left behind a young family. If that had been you, where would you have been? Steve is in heaven. We don't have all the answers. Because if we did, we wouldn't need faith. But where would you be? Would you see this amazing Christ as a great Saviour? As a great husband, as a great friend, as the one who has saved you with a wonderful salvation on Calvary? Or would you see him as a terrible judge? How could you sit at Belvedere Chapel and hear the word and hear the preaching of the word and the preaching of the gospel and know the way of escape and not escape and not flee to Christ? Why did you spend 2022 without seeking me for salvation? For the Bible teaches human responsibility as well as divine sovereignty. Where will you be, my friend? You see, all of us here are going to one of two destinations, heaven or hell. I pray this morning that you will see the Lord Jesus as a great Saviour. Great, wonderful, glorious, and freely available to all. He stretches out his hands and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He wept over Jerusalem because they'd hardened their hearts. He was great in his compassion and humanity. And will you not come to him now and embrace him now and see something of those immortal honours that rest on Jesus' head and bow to him as a Saviour? Ask him to forgive you for the wrong that you've done and pray that he will cleanse you in his sinless blood and make you one of his children and take you home to heaven. He will be great. I thank God he is a great Saviour. But I tremble at the fact that one day he'll be seen to be a great judge. And I pray that everyone gathered here this morning may know him as a great Saviour on that day. And not as a great judge. Let us pray. Glorious God, we pray for Steve's family on Thursday at that funeral. And for James Swanson and his family out there in Northern Cyprus. We pray for those here who do not know this Saviour, young and old. And we pray that this day they may come to know Jesus Christ as a great Saviour and trust in him. For we do not desire that anyone here see him as a great judge and know him for his great wrath. But we ultimately long that everyone here might know him because of his great love. Hear us, O Lord, we ask in